Good to have you along with us this morning at 8:33 on this Thursday with Ken and Deb.
And during this month of March, we've been honoring women in history, women in the present day for their accomplishments in our society and world. But many women around the world are not free to pursue their dreams. And She Is Safe has been rescuing girls and women from abuse and slavery for 19 years. We're going to find out more about it this morning as we visit with Michelle Rickett, who is the founder and president of She Is Safe. And good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Always good to have you on with us, Michelle. And so let's start off, first of all, in finding out a little bit more about She Is Safe and the work that you guys do and how it got started.
Well, my husband, Daniel, and I were career missionaries in the 1980s, a long time ago. And we saw firsthand and then continued to learn about the debasing view of women and girls leading to physical violence and then the sale of girls across Africa, across the Middle East, and throughout Asia, mostly places least reached with the gospel. So about 20 years ago, we started She Is Safe to work with indigenous churches and non-government organizations, usually spun off from the church, in these highest risk communities to exalt Christ through prevention, rescue, and restoration. We have seen in at least one community recently reported to us that they've seen an 85% drop in human trafficking cases.
Wow.
Where we have put into play our prevention program.
Wow, that's amazing. That's mm-hmm. wonderful. We praise the Lord for that. So, Michelle, recently there was just a really terrible, violent incident down in Atlanta. Can you give us some insight maybe on the recent massage parlor shootings?
Yes. Well, first of all, that these murders are absolutely tragic. Mm-hmm. We, along with so many others, are grieving these women who were exploited and mistreated as sex objects, were then murdered by one of their abusers. So this moment exposes illicit sex parlors. Mm-hmm. That's what they really are. They are organized, sophisticated criminal rings that exploit vulnerable women. So mm-hmm. these women are targeted for recruitment because they do not know the language in the U.S., mm-hmm. and they are intimidated with all kinds of violence and debt bondage into becoming sex slaves. And of course, we know that from all studies, 99% of all sex slaves are female. Just a few other insights. We at She Is Safe have seen violence against women and girls as the norm in communities where they are most often exploited. Women are beaten and starved and lit on fire because they are viewed by their handlers as less than human.
Oh,
so you can see the reflection of that here with these shootings.
Mm-hmm.
We know they are made in the image of God and worthy of protection and respect and nurture. But for those in sex parlors to gain a tourist visa from a job recruiter and a fake degree from a massage school indebts the women for $40,000 to $60,000
Wow.
And then they're coerced that they have to do whatever they are told until the money is paid back.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
So how many of these types of parlors, number-wise, are we looking at, Michelle?
There are 90,000, at least 90,000 of them across the nation. And, of course, you see them everywhere in our little strip malls near our neighborhoods.
Hmm.
And so they look perfectly normal. They have pictures of, you know, people having a neck massage or whatnot. So our society has really looked the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, law enforcement is not looking the other way. I don't mean to imply that, but for most people, it's not like, well, yeah, we kind of know there's something not right in there, but we walk on.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you mentioned law enforcement. So what is law enforcement doing in these situations?
Generally, upon receiving tips, say, from a health department inspector or customer complaints, law enforcement will organize and conduct a raid. And their hope, of course, is to have a strong enough case to close down the illicit business and prosecute the higher ups. But this industry is really wrapped in intimidation and silence, so it's very difficult for law enforcement to get enough, not just evidence, but you have to have testimony that can stand up in court in order to close this down. But I just feel that that is about to change because we're all, you know, getting a window into what this is really all about in these illicit massage parlors, really sex parlors.
So, Michelle, I know you have some stories, some success stories, if you will, of some people that have escaped this and how God has really rescued them. Can you give us one of those?
Well, yes. As you can imagine, these women are humiliated by their circumstances and rarely speak out. There are social service advocates often assigned to go with law enforcement on these raids to be there as interpreters, since most don't know the language, to help guide the victim to legal representation, health, and other services. A woman who, we can't share her name, was 60 years old from Taiwan, who was willing to speak. She had worked for a decade in this illicit industry, forced to serve 8 to 12 customers a day. She had been recruited in her 50s, which is very interesting that these groups target middle-aged women who maybe don't have much family and they have a lot of debt back in their home country. But a travel agency broker helped her gain a travel visa to the U.S. and promised a job and a place to live. And she shared, now that she's free, people come here and have no place to live. They're offered not just money, but a place where they can start their lives. And they're told once they arrive, you know, it's not safe to hold your passport in your hand, so give it to me for safekeeping.
Oh my.
So this woman was arrested several times and finally was able, under anonymity, to break free and build a whole different kind of life. So it's women like this that give us an insight into the realities, the difficulties of breaking free. And of course, those who are caught have very little money. Most of their money goes into paying off that supposed debt. They experience daily physical violence, threats to their family back home, and intimidation.
But
one former federal agent said that the most common method of smuggling women from Asia are ads in their home language newspapers and social networks like WeChat. So these are ways, you know, these little windows help us see what are some of the things that we could do.
Mm-hmm. So let's go on to that. What are some of the things that you're doing, and what are some of the things we could do as listeners and advocates?
Well, as I said, this is a moment when Christians, everyone, of course, but Christians in particular, can support law enforcement in your area and encourage them in their efforts to close down illicit sex parlors and to treat traumatized victims with care. This seems to be a big issue, as the woman I told you about said, you know, we're arrested and we don't know anyone, and we go to jail and we don't know who to trust. We can barely understand what people are saying. So we're calling on law enforcement to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't people you make fun of. These aren't people who deserve what they got. You know, none of that can come out of our law enforcement. So I think in a positive way, we're shining the light on the industry, and the sex parlors will be no longer considered normal in our strip malls and near our neighborhoods. The more we elevate victims as made in God's image to law enforcement and to others, more likely women are to trust our interventions and they're on their behalf, and then to assist in prosecutions. if they really are treated well, a little better, a little more kindness, then, you know, they can be more helpful if they know they have recourse. So we're suggesting that people write to your chief of police or give them a call, and they're public servants of yours, and let them know that you appreciate them and that you count on them in this difficult work to be, you know, effective and sensitive to those who are victimized. The more we elevate that expectation, the more we will see this will change. I am absolutely convinced. Another thing that folks can do who are listening is create an advocacy group that focuses on these source communities. These are the places where She Is Safe works. If we can prevent people, so we're kind of going upstream, let's go to those communities where women and girls are being sold out of and transported either to a near neighbor country or to the United States. We can be involved in prevention, and as I mentioned, it is extremely effective where it's applied. So, you know, folks can join us that way. Go to the sheissafe.org website and look for our human trafficking prevention kit and share it and post it. And you can email us at info@sheissafe.org and ask questions. We'd be happy to partner together.
That's great. Again, it's sheissafe.org where you can find out more details about the organization She Is Safe. And Michelle Rickett is our guest this morning. Michelle, thank you for what you do. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
8:45 here at Moody Radio with Elevation Worship and Graves into Gardens.